First presentation is actually the last one listed in the book, The Impact of South Africa's PMTCT Program on Perinatal Mother-to-Child Transmission of HIV Measured at 6 weeks Postpartum in South Africa, results from the first year of implementation of the 2010 PMTCT guidelines recommended by the WHO. Whew. That was some serious. We do have a switch in presenters. Today we're going to hear from Deborah Jackson, who was one of the authors on here. She is a professor at the School of Public Health, University of the Western Cape in Cape Town, South Africa. She has a research focus on PMTCT and HIV and infant feeding. I also wanted to note that this presentation won an excellence in abstract in the international topic section from the HIV section. We're going to hold all questions to the end of the presentations, all five of them. So just go ahead and hold your questions till then. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the award. My colleague had sent me an email, something about that, but she wasn't sure what it was, and she didn't make it. Hi, thanks for coming. Wow, it's actually a bigger crowd than I expected at this hour, the very last session with the chaos outside. So that's very exciting. Recognize my co-authors, Dr. Din from the CDC and Amina Goga from the Medical Research Council of South Africa. I have no conflicts to declare. Just a little bit of background about South Africa and about our PMTCT program. In 2008 to 2010, we were using the old WHO guidelines, which was a CD4 greater than 200. The mom got AZT from 28 weeks and single-dose nevirapine in labor. If the mom was less than CD4 200 or clinical WHO clinical stage 4, she would go on triple therapy, ART for life. HIV-exposed infants would get single-dose nevirapine and AZT for 7 days. I'm sure many of you know that the WHO had new recommendations in 2010, which for us were implemented really from late 2010. And those were changing the cutoff for CD4 to 350, and also changing the AZT to 14 weeks as opposed to 28, along with single-dose nevirapine as well as TDF-FCC in labor. And that infants would be mothers, if the mother was on ART or they were non-breastfeeding, then they would get 6 weeks of nevirapine. And if they were breastfeeding, they would get nevirapine throughout the breastfeeding period. And we have transitioned to that. And so some of the data I'm going to present today, you'll see the impact of that new regimen. Just some background on South Africa. We, of course, have one of the highest HIV prevalences in the world, and we have basically around 30%, almost a third of our pregnant women are HIV positive. We have, however, in the recent few years, advanced to very high coverage of our PMTCT for services, over 98% of primary healthcare facilities. And decentralization of our ARV provision, so when those moms are eligible, we do have more eligibility available clinics in the primary healthcare facilities, and we also have nurse-initiated ARV. Our maternal and child health background, we have about 1.2 to 1.4 million births a year. Our DPT coverage is very high, which is important for this study, over 95%, and our neonatal mortality is 3.8 per 1,000 live births in the first 28 days. So what were the objectives of our study? This is a big study, and we have several objectives, but I'm going to actually report on three of them today. One is our basic MTCT at 6 weeks postpartum, estimated coverage of our PMTCT services, just a little bit on that because I presented more on that on Monday, and estimation of association between MTCT and other key indicators and characteristics. So I'm going to focus primarily on transmission and risk factors today. The design was a national facility-based survey, multi-stage sampling methods, national and provincial estimates. So we have 9 provinces. We wanted to get provincial-level estimates. We had 580 facilities in all 9 provinces, all 52 districts. Our target was 12,200 infant dried blood spots to look for HIV. We did interview data collection of the mothers or caregivers, whoever brought the infant in for their 6-week DPT, using cell phone technology and real-time data collection, which is a really amazing thing. The duration of the data collection for we've done 2 surveys that I'm reporting on today. We actually started our 3rd survey this week as I'm here in the U.S. Our first survey, our 2010 survey, was from June 2010 to December 2010, and our 2011 survey ran from August 2011 into some cleanup data collection up through March 2012. our laboratory testing, we had what we called serial testing. Basically, we drew dried blood spots on all infants getting 4 to 8 weeks old getting a DPT1. So whether the mom knew she was HIV positive, HIV exposed, or unknown, or she thought she was negative, we basically, this was the methodology first developed by Rollins in KwaZulu-Natal. And so basically what we do is we draw dried blood spots on all those infants, and then they get an ELISA test. And if the ELISA test is positive, then they're considered exposed, and then they get a confirming HIV infection status with an HIV DNA PCR. As you know, at 6 weeks, pretty much still 100% of babies will have maternal antibody, so the ELISA test reflects maternal HIV status. Those are the tests we use, the GenScreen or the AmpliPrep Tegmen from Roche, and all the tests were done centrally at the National Health Laboratory System. Just once again, our case definitions, and because this is relates to our denominators, an HIV-exposed infant was who had an ELISA-positive dry blood spot, and an HIV-infected infant, so essentially mother-to-child transmission, is an infant who is ELISA-positive and had a positive HIV DNA PCR test. And so the one is the denominator for the, and the latter is the numerator for transmission. These are somewhat still preliminary findings, especially for 2011. The 2010 are final. Adjusted for non-response, weighted for the population live births in South Africa, and we used SAS. Just looking at how we did for our sample size, you can see down at the bottom that basically both in 2010 and 2011, we got 83% of our sample, which our statistician was happy with that. In 2010, in a couple provinces, that first province, for example, we only got 55%, but by 2011, adjusting what we learned in the field, we were able to get up to 85%. So we've got our sample sizes is adequate for what we were looking for. Just some characteristics of our moms, because these are some of the risk factors we look at later. The vast majority of children are brought in by their mothers, which is 98%, which is good. However, you can see we've got over 70% of our moms are single. And we first were really shocked by this, but all the other data from around the country is really suggesting that we've got a huge problem of single moms. Feeding practice at in the last 8 days, non-mixed breastfeeding, so exclusive breastfeeding, was basically in the HIV-exposed infants was 56%, in the HIV-unexposed infants, 44%, in the mixed breastfeeding was 44% and 56%, so basically switched there. Planned pregnancy, only a third, C-section, a little over 20%. So what's the main findings? We basically looking at exposure. In 2010, it was 31%, and in 2011, 32%. This is slightly higher than the antenatal survey, which reports 29%, but obviously this is taken about 10 months later and would make sense because you're going to have the window period, you're going to have people who don't know they're positive, and you're going to have people who acquire HIV infection in the interim. So this is actually matches up really well with our national antenatal survey. If you look at the perinatal transmission, 2010 it was 3.5%, and in 2011 it was 2.7%. And that's basically reflecting the switch in from what that I talked about from the 2008 guidelines to the 2010 guidelines. So this is very exciting. If you're aware of the WHO targets for elimination, the target for 6-week transmission is less than 2%. So South Africa is on target towards those 2015 goals, and we're really excited about that. You'll still see some of the problems we're facing in reaching the 2% target, but we are on our way. So this is basically, if you look at our cascade data, some of which I presented on Monday, you can see that we have very high antenatal testing and receipt of results. You can see that mothers reporting HIV positive is identical to the antenatal survey, so that made us feel really good. But you can see where we're falling down is CD4 testing. We're only about 78% there. So we're missing quite a few moms who are in need of triple therapy who aren't getting it if they're not getting their CD4. You can see, however, one big shift between the 2010, which are the gold bars, and the 2011, which are the light salmon, is you can see that we went from 33% mothers on heart with the 200 cutoff to 43% with the 350 cutoff. in 2011, and that we also saw a huge change of infants receiving more than 4 weeks of nevirapine as they switched to the extended nevirapine program. But if you combine these numbers, mothers getting either prophylaxis or heart are still only about 91%. So we still are missing 9% of moms who aren't getting inadequate treatment. And if we can address, I think, both CD4 and the gaps, the missed opportunities, then I think that we're going to do a much better job and get down to that 2% that we're looking for. Looking at risk factors, you can see that really the big thing is triple therapy and or prophylaxis, and that if you're using maternal heart as the reference, that if only the mother or the infant got antiretroviral prophylaxis, not both, that they had a 5-time increased risk for transmission, or if they got less than 10 weeks maternal and infant AZT, it was 2-fold increased risk. So getting moms on the full prophylaxis and or heart really makes a huge difference, and I think that for me is really well reflected in that we increased that the mothers on heart is why we saw the 3.5 to 2.7 decrease. And that we also are seeing a borderline association with mixed breastfeeding even this early. So I think that the mixed breastfeeding is a concern, and you may have noticed or not in our objectives that we are trying to do a cohort follow-up to 18 months. It's never been done. We don't know that we're going to be able to do it either, but we're going to try and follow 3,000 children all over the country for 18 months. It's going to be interesting to see what the HIV-free survival and MTC to 18 months is. None of the other factors were a risk factor for transmission. So our strengths and limitations, we are measuring mothers with known infection, unknown infection, and the mothers who acquire infection during pregnancy. We also are reaching moms who didn't necessarily participate in the PMTCT program, whereas if you just look at your PMTCT program data, then you're missing those groups of women who aren't participating. Our limitations are that we're only facility-based. However, we do have over 95% coming in for that DPT-1. We obviously missed the babies who've already died. We did have 6% who refused HIV testing. We did exclude mobile clinics, big tertiary, like hospitals, kids getting DPTs, ones in the hospital, private facilities, which is a small percentage of our healthcare, if you know South Africa, and small clinics. We just couldn't logistically make it out to the tiny clinics. And obviously, we do have potential for recall and social desirability bias. So in conclusion, after 1 year of implementing the 2010 PMTCT guidelines, South Africa, we have reduced our perinatal MTCT from 3.5 to 2.7. I'd like to point out, because I didn't have this data, but in 2008, our transmission was 7-8%. And so we got a new Minister of Health, which you may all know that, which was yay. And he's done amazing work really pushing MTCT, pre-MTCT services. So we completely increased that 98% is really a lot of his work, and really has then we've seen a huge decrease in our mother-to-child transmission. So we are on track for that target, but we are concerned about mixed breastfeeding and MTCT beyond 8 weeks. So we have a huge team, because obviously it's a big study with like 10,000, 12,000 kids, and we're funded by the CDC, UNICEF, and the South African National Department of Health.